fairly loud voice, says, "We're not girls." And I looked over and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were girls." And he said, "No, we're not girls. I'm sorry, I thought you were, well, then you're a man." And he said, "I'm not that either." And I went quiet and I kind of thought about it. I didn't realize about the concept of cloning, the concept of, you know, that type of thing at the time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's who they were. Now, they sat there and participated also. And Dino, who I knew now as a Dino, a teacher, took the platform. And then he began to explain that he had me in the room, and then he said something like, "I want you all to know that today we have royalty in the room." Royalty? Wow. Wonder who could that be? So I started looking around. I said, maybe it's those big guys in the back. Looking around, and then I noticed everyone was looking at me. Mm-hmm. Everyone, including my guide. No one was looking anywhere else. So, you know, you kind of know who is being introduced sometimes because some people know who it is and they look that way. So then you kind of look that way too. But everyone was looking at me. And I said, "My goodness, me?" And I put my hand to my chest and said, "Me?" And one of the big guys said, "Yes, you." And oh, okay, whatever that means. Anyway, and that was enough. This is a room in which you can learn many things, that Dino said. You can ask him, he can show you. And I said, "Okay." And there were things that concerned me about technology, because my mind, again, was in technology. I said, "What is this place?" And across the room, little voice comes out of one of those little guys, says, "It's called El Jerusalem." You know, high-pitched voice. Kind of cute, like, you know, cute voice. Mm-hmm. And I turned and I said, "Oh, we got a Jerusalem on earth," because I heard it as Jerusalem. And "Oh, we know all about Jerusalem on earth. It's very important to our studies." And I said, "Oh, okay." "But it's not that. This is not the new Jerusalem of that. It's the new Jerusalem, which is the capital. Jerusalem is the capital of Satania." And he said, "Satania." And suddenly I just started to get, like, very uncomfortable. I said, "Satania." And he just said, "Satan." He just said, "Satania." And it's Satan, named after Satan. Uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. And then Dale looks at me. "Don't worry about that. It's not the same anymore. capital of the zone in which you live. It's called Jerusalem. And Sitinia is where you, is this group of planetary and other inhabited areas, such as this place. So, wow. Wait a minute, okay. I'm trying to put this together in my head at the time. And I said, okay, well, okay, I can grasp some of this because the concept and the idea of inhabited planets is not foreign to me, and it's the idea that there may be very, very large ships in the universe, perhaps, having a lot of time to construct, perhaps. There may, indeed, be other things besides planets where people live on it. Okay, I got the name of the place. It's called the New Jerusalem. Yes, and it's big qualified. It's not the New Jerusalem, but it's pointing to the same place, Jerusalem. Jerusalem and Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, both point to the capital of the system of Sitinia. Oh. What about the devil? I says, don't worry about the devil. He's taken care of. Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. Any other questions? You have sometimes to answer as many questions as you have. Quietly, said, all right, I better ask some very important questions. So then I began to go some basic questions like, what is gravity? Mm-hmm. And the explanation from that same person to explain the place, the name of the place, New Jerusalem. He said, everything is growing. Well, they qualified my question by asking, you mean by what holds you down on earth? And it didn't mean gravity within the New Jerusalem, what held us down, held us down to the ground so we could walk like on Earth, the gravity of Earth. Yeah, like, you know, like the apple falling down, Newtonian physics. And it's everything is growing. Nothing is still. Everything is growing. Getting bigger? And it says yes. Well, I guess, you know, everything's growing, but I don't understand it. It says from the tiniest subatomic level to the universe itself is in continuous expansion and growth. That's your primary growth force or gravity. Okay, I got you now. Okay, right, all right. Simple. What causes our solar system to be having a planar type of orbit, and galaxies having some of that flatness. That's something different. This is okay. We consider that like gravity, you know, could cause the orbits around the larger mass. And I says, must think of it in a simpler sense. Something like what you understand as static electricity, but it is more than that. Okay, I'll remember that. Static electricity is very different from active electricity, and DC electricity, AC electric, all kinds of electricity is used in so many ways today. Mm-hmm. And basically they are concept of an electric reality of space. They went on and they explained some more stuff. But I go on to a whole other area of explanation on gravity. I go on shows on that topic. They went on to wondering how I was transported on a blue beam of light, how I went through the wall, and that person, that same person, he wasn't a teacher, just a student, and he looked at me and he didn't answer me verbally. image into my mind. And basically, he kind of drew an image like, let's say, a group of columns. And if you face a group of columns, numerous columns, in a certain angle, you cannot see the spaces in between. They look like you cannot fit in between. And then he rotated it. And it's, there were all these spaces in between. And he said, those are the spaces that you went through. What you understand as solid is not solid. Mm-hmm. So by shifting you over a little bit, you fit right through those spaces. He did that with an impression of being able to communicate beyond words, giving picture examples imputed into a mind, a type of a vision, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And I was somewhat satisfied. Now, we've taken technologies today in terms of compressing into a space a lot of information. At one time, wasn't realized just how much you could compress within the time domain. Division, multiplexing, having more than a time divide, you could have space, time, division, multiplex, and you have space in space, within space, its own time. And using those, perhaps, to phase shift yourself, or if it's a typical term, a simplistic term, between the structure of becoming essentially dimensionally shift and moving between the spaces. You're still within the same zone, just phase shifted. Well, anyway, that's pretty much the explanation they gave me. I don't know how they did it. I wanted to find out. And then I wanted to find out the energy and the power of what made it. They said, oh, I use the term engine. What is the engine of this place? Powers. Oh, it took that puzzled a little bit, and it said, oh, you mean power source. And then the Dana said, let's go. And we went, and he said, checked quickly. I don't know who he checked it with, but he communicated with somebody, and it was okay. So we went on, and went on a field excursion. Up at a grand stadium, any modern stadium today, mm-hmm. was much bigger than that, looking way up there. And above me was an expansive area, and I saw this huge dark gray V-winged shape above me. And it was huge. Made it nearly a mile. It was so huge, big, gigantic. Wow, space in the area that we were in was huge anyway. And then I everything. I said, what do you need wings in space? Because it's empty, you don't need wings. And it's, that was immediately corrected and said, space is not empty. And I said, oh, okay. I wonder what you need such a big craft. Maybe it's some kind of transport ship, because what are those holes under the wings? A lot of holes over there. Maybe you go get atmosphere or gas or raw materials or something from those things. And it says, in a way, we do collect through those things, but not what you're thinking. And I said, okay, now what exactly goes on? I can't tell you right now. It says, oh, okay. Well, anyway. But he did leave it to the point that they do collect through those ports. And there were a lot of... So I continued down the staircase with this in mind. And then I could see this block, this floor. Also saw along the bottom on the floor many, many disc-shaped crafts. A lot of them went on and on and on. So there were a lot of them. So anyway, went on down the floor and went over to an area. And the operator was another little guy. And he just opened up the port, the door on it, I guess. It was a door he just opened and introduced me to the energy source. And I looked at it and I said, wow, this thing looks like a stomach. And he said, it's not a stomach. You know, I said, yeah, I know, you know, a stomach is for, you know, getting, translating chemical energy into biologic energy, you know, we can run it in our system. Yeah, I understand that, you know. Okay, does it do something like that? And it says, in a way, but it's not a stomach. All right, and it says, what kind of energy does it use? It translates energy into some of the components that you're familiar with. And I said, electrical energy. He says, yes, there is some electrical energy involved. And I said, well, what about potential energy or pressure, like water pressure or something? And he says, well, there's a byproduct in there, and water is in there. And I says, oh, okay, what else is there? Well, there's a kind of energy that you don't understand right now. And it is primarily that energy which runs this place. I said, oh, so it's not just electrical energy. No, electrical energy is only one small part of the energy that runs this place. This place being, I guess, the New Jerusalem, as well as many of the technologies around. So I said, well, okay. And this is the engine. I said, yep, this is the engine. And I said, can you rev it up? Rev it up. Then they kind of wondered what I meant by revving, saying rev it up. So they said, oh, increase power demand. So they went and did a few things. And then I could see its color start to change, and waves of color moved across this great bulbous looking body and move in waves across it, very much like how colors are on a squid that is actively changing colors. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, okay, can I touch it? And I said, no, you can't touch it. And almost did, but all right, I won't touch it. What's it called? It's a Frandalac. It's what powers here and some of the other areas in the system, in your solar system. Oh, you have some other things going on that uses this? Yeah. And I said, okay. Frandalac. Frankenstein. I remember it as a Frankenstein. You guys got Frankenstein. But I won't remember Frandalac very well. And I said, okay. party had dispersed. I was just with my guy. And I asked him, can I? He said, yeah, sure. That's why it opened. He knew that he needed to use it. Oh, I said, okay, I went over there. And I went in and I looked at everything and he used, you know, the little toilet, which was exactly like a toilet here. You know, different model. I don't know what model, but it looked just like a Western style toilet. And a sink, lavatory sink. And I looked at it and I said, okay, I'll look underneath. There was no discussion. It did, the plumbing was different. It just went molded into the wall. It looked like it, but the connection was as if it was, you know, somebody took some clay and molded it into the wall. Very different. I said, okay, well, it's different. As far as the connection goes, no P-trap and all that stuff, and pipes, different. But it went up to basic fixture type things that are familiar to me. So when I left, got out there, went back to my guy. I said, you know, a lot of that stuff in there looks just like what we have on Earth. And he says, it should. It came from Earth. So I was thinking, my goodness, eh? Okay, they go and get things from here. Maybe at the hardware store somewhere. So anyway, that's pretty much that exposure to the, you know, some of the things that, idea that they do have direct function into our society right now. It much goes shopping here and get stuff. So anyway, then went on and went back to the classroom. On the way back, there were other rooms, and there were rooms that had two plants in front. Some had three. Some had four, five, six of them in front of them. And I wondered at them. I said, my goodness, they're you know, beautiful. I can't, you know. I just wanted to stay there, just look at them. It's so wonderful to look at. They're quite active and beautiful. They almost like dance for you. As you wake them up, when they're essentially quiet and just perhaps sleeping, mm-hmm. they just look like a plant. And then when you admire them, they wake up, they start doing their dance, and they look like a flame dances, but much more beautiful. Anyway, I had to be pulled away, and Dano met me over there, and he says, oh, we don't have time for you to look at all of these. You have to go back. I said, what about these other rooms? He says, you're not ready to go into these other rooms yet. So, I went back to the first grade, I guess you might say, with the one with one plant in front of it. And any more questions? And I says, what is this place made out of? What makes this place? How do you make this place? I saw no idea of structure, like, you know, I said, well, you know, I don't see no 4x8 sheets or something. I don't see anything that's got rivets. I don't see anything that like is made. How does this place made? Oh, okay. And so they show me one place. So I'm going to take you over and show you some of the structures and how we can create them. So we went over and we moved over to an area. And you're showing me an indent, a room or a living quarters that was being made. And so I said, wow, interesting. And it says, yeah, when we enlarge an area, it's very much like how a cell takes up another space and it sort of grows and things like that. Notice the space, and it says, yeah, it looks like an egg or cell. Not square walls, and, yeah, rounded over everywhere. Yeah, it's being expanded. Take a look at it. And the same type of waves were radiating through that I saw in the front. Like very similar waves of energy. And it is being structured right now. And I says, oh, okay. I says, what goes in here? And it says, living quarters will be structured in here. One in which is being prepared for many visitors. It's to for me? He says, one wicket will be made for you, and you'll be back, don't worry. You'll be back, and you'll have one place set up for you. I said, it looks kind of small. And he says, one of them looked at me, one of them looked at me, small. What do you worry about size for? And I said, well, you know, I got lots of stuff. Stuff, what do you need stuff for? And anyway, I said, okay, enough with that, you know. But I'm reminded of not having stuff by the fabric that I was wearing, basically that smock thing, basically having not even my own clothes on. Anyway, I said, okay, well, I'll see what goes on. Anyway, and I went on and thinking about it, and they led me down the way, and there was an artist, and he was considered an artist. He said, this is an artist. Copy on his unit. He's an artist here. I said, oh, he's got me. Yeah, because he likes art. I said, well, okay. And the very same ways and lines were moving through it, and he was creating a sculpture and not carving. I said, oh, it works the opposite way, where we carve away material. You're putting material like the clay type sculpture, you add material to it, right? And it says, yeah, it's growing. We grow it. It says, growing it. Like a tree grows? And it says, a tree, it grows, but it grows because its instructions are embedded within it. And that's how the tree grows. We grow this from external instructions, our instructions, but in a similar sense. And the material will behave accordingly. And it says, well, and I looked at it, and I wondered what his interface was. And all he had was his hand on some kind of a device. He watched it, his structure being created. He was not manipulating his fingers in any way. I thought he just was resting his hand, but apparently when he took his hand off, everything stopped. demonstrate to me that he was really fabricating something. A sculpture, a work of art. At the time, it didn't seem like anything special. It wasn't making, you know, like a sculpture of one of them. You know, we go to Rome or Greece, and we see sculptures of human beings all over the place, or famous ones, or not so famous ones, or whatever. But it was different. It was not necessarily of, and it didn't seem to be a shape that was abstract, in terms of an abstraction of a humanoid shape, or abstraction of a tree. It was different. Anyway, it wasn't even finished yet. And then I asked, what is this made out of? And it says, everything is made out of the order of crystal. Crystal. And immediately my pictures in my mind was, you know, having played a lot with crystals, and quartz crystals, especially quartz crystals. They're fairly large. You can handle them. And the crystals of salt and sugar and stuff like that, they're pretty big. And immediately the comment was, smaller. No, smaller, smaller. Okay, tiny, tiny crystals. Yes, very small. Everything is made with crystal. Ordered and structured in crystalline form. Oh, you instruct the crystal how to grow? And it says, yeah. Oh, interesting. I thought crystals are grown because of the molecular structure. Says, you don't know the other ingredients. Well, anyway, that's true. I didn't know about having some of the other ingredients, which are not found on Earth. And it's very, very wonderful. We could figure out what there were. I remember asking that at the Fond du Lac, I said, how's it politique. I mean, what, it's not that big of a problem. Can we get one here on to planet Earth, power the planet? It says presently we're forbidden from doing that. So I got that answer from the time of the Fondament.
Mm-hmm.
But at the sculpture, I got the idea of how things are made. Not with, you know, not fabricating them like at the Boeing plant, you know, making aircraft or something. Very, very different.
Well, Michael?
Yeah.
We're already about out of time.
All right.
We could continue this next week. Any parting thoughts?
Well, like I said, keep your eye and the heart high, lifted up, in terms of the fact that they're announcing a great change that will be happening. Sounds that the trumpetings that are running around the planet right now are trying to get our attention, and they're functioning. They have been functioning with us for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be more. I'll explain more if you want any more explanation on what we will be interfacing with soon.
Well, thank you so much again today, and we'll see you again same time, same place next week.
Sure.
You take care now. Thanks. Bye.
Okay.